Welcome to Wild About Utah, a Utah Public Radio production featuring contributors who share a love of nature, preservation, and education.
George Archibald, who danced daily with a captive female whooping crane named Tex, provided a remarkable example of the biological significance of dancing cranes. George even slept beside Tex, huddled in a down sleeping bag through cold Wisconsin nights, to stimulate her egg-laying activity. With the help of some sperm from a donor male crane, this technique proved successful, and George eventually became the proud godfather of a baby whooper, which he appropriately named Gee Whiz. I first became enamored with cranes while attending a lecture in the late U.S. Library of Congress by author, naturalist Peter Mathiasen. Cranes are ubiquitous in the earliest legends of the world's people, where they often figure as harbingers of heaven and omens of longevity and good fortune. Peter was a masterful storyteller, and soon had my students and I helplessly captivated. Our emotions vacillated from euphoric highs to abysmal lows, with his elegant words describing the revered bird. The highs then snatched away as we learned of their tenuous existence. Of the 12 world species, 12 are in serious decline, primarily from habitat loss and over-harvesting. My appreciation for the magnificent avian species was accentuated last year when we had a great presentation at our inaugural Cache Valley Sandhill Crane Festival in Logan. We soon realized that our guest speaker, Paul Tebble from Sacramento, was more crane than human. Paul has spent much of his life both doing research as an advocate and as an advocate for the protection and enjoyment of this bird. From Paul, we learned that the crane's elegant dance appears to be beyond mating, to what can only be interpreted as joyful expression of exuberance. Their dance continues in sporadic fashion throughout the year. We also learned their common red crown is not feathers but skin, which glows brighter as its emotions escalate, a human trait. Another stunner came from discovering the lovely red earthen color of their feathers is actually a form of body art. The cranes will locate a reddish-colored soil, which they will use to preen with, transforming the natural gray plumage to an auburn glow. On our field trip the following morning, we viewed several colts, that is, crane youngsters, in the wet meadows and hayfields. Nesting begins early April to late May. Nests are usually low mounds of vegetation, located in wetlands, but are occasionally located uplands as well. The female typically lays 2 eggs, with incubation lasting 29 to 32 days. Cranes are omnivorous, and their diet varies depending on the season and where they are. Seeds, fleshy tubers of plants, grub, earthworms, snails, amphibians, small reptiles, and small rodents are all fair game. Cranes typically travel 200 to 300 miles in a day during migration at speeds averaging 25 to 35 miles per hour, but can reach 500 miles with a good tailwind. Among the oldest living birds on the planet, a crane fossil found in northeast Alaska is estimated to be about 10 million years old. Fortunately, sandhill crane populations are still increasing. The total for the 5 subspecies number between 600 and 800,000, with lesser sandhill cranes being the most abundant. Join us at our Sandhill Crane Festival in Logan, June 10th and 11th, to continue our celebration of these birds of heaven, as described by Peter Mathiasen. This is Jack Green, reading for Wild About Utah.
Wild About Utah is brought to you in part by our listeners and the Moab Area Travel Council, whose support of tourism, events, and recreation in Grand County promotes and protects the natural beauty for visitors from across the state of Utah. Information available online at discovermoab.com.